How's everybody doing tonight? Doing good? Yeah, all right, that's good. You sound kind of mellow out there. I just want to introduce our guest speaker today. One of the awesome privileges I have as a pastor here at the church is I've been able to see people go out into the mission field all over the place, to China, to Australia, and the lady that we have tonight is back from the from going out from this church, Carla, and man, I'm so excited that she's back. I mean, I didn't know she was back, and Sunday I came in here and I saw her, and I was just so stoked to see her, and I know she's stoked to see me too, and her California friend, you know, she just wanted to hear my slang, you know, she missed that California slang, right? And you know, but one of the things that, you know, she's been in Papua New Guinea for quite some time now, ministering with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and she's back to tell us about what she's doing. And her ministry is radical. It is radical ministry for Christ. And I am so stoked I have a Bible. You know what I mean? And someone took the time to translate the Word of God into English. And how many people that has touched. You know, all of us in this room were touched by an English translation, probably of the Bible. And yet she's doing that same thing of translating the Word of God into languages that don't have Bibles, that don't have even a written language yet. And that's absolutely, that's why when I saw her, I'm like, you are a crazy, radical woman, Carla. I mean, you're just so hardcore for Christ. I just love it. I love her passion for the Lord. I just want it to rub on me. And have that passion. So we are blessed to have her tonight. This is a rare privilege. We just don't get to hear from Carla that often. So we want to give her a nice, warm welcome. Carla Sly.
Hey, Bo.
Yeah.
Don't take off. Come here for a second.
Are you
going to
crown me or something?
No. I wanted to give this tapa cloth to the church as a thank you for all the support that you guys have given to the ministry over the years. This cloth is made from tree bark. They pound the tree bark out flat, and then they paint this design on here with traditional dyes made from plants and trees, stuff like that. And they used to use it traditionally for clothing. So they make skirts and out of it. So I wanted the church to have this to remember to pray for PNG and to say
absolutely. Thanks. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know you are.
All right.
I don't have to wear it.
No.
Okay.
You don't have to wear it.
Okay.
Please don't. Okay. Well, Lavona Giamina Fuemi. Now, for those of you who heard me talk on Sunday morning, you know that that's the Mayadome language of Papua New Guinea. But instead of saying good morning, this time I said good evening to all of you. You know, last year I was working with the Mayadome translation team, that's Henry Kaisese, Sosi Abeko, and Solomon Leo, at the Alatau Regional Center. Alatau is the capital of Milne Bay Province, and we were working there in my vegetable garden at the Wycliffe Translation Center. Now, my PNG friends were absolutely thrilled that I planted a vegetable garden, that I wanted to have a garden just like theirs. So they actually came to help me weed the garden one Saturday. We finished up our work and we were putting away the bush knives in the shop. And I looked behind me and I noticed that Solomon and Sosi were hanging way back in the driveway. They would not come into the shop. And I looked over and I saw why. You see, we have a cage there, a wire cage, and it has a green tree python in it that the center manager had captured, and he was keeping it as a pet. And Henry was standing there in a shop, and he was animatedly explaining to the other two in the Mayadome language why anybody would be crazy enough to keep a snake as a pet. Because, you see, Papua New Guineans are terrified of snakes. I mean, they just hate them. So as I was putting the tools away and locking the door, I noticed that Henry was not paying any attention to me at all. Now, some of you might have this kind of sense of humor, and I just couldn't resist the temptation. I walked right up behind Henry, reached down, grabbed the back of his leg, and went, and he just shot through the ceiling of the shop. Now, the other two guys, Solomon, he's like about this tall, okay? And he nearly jumped into the pickup truck that was sitting in the driveway. And then we all just dissolved into laughter. Well, I'm glad that we have those kind of times together. I mean, that's very Papua New Guinean humor. And it's important that we have times to bond together like that, because we sure spend a lot of time working together on translation. And really, I'm here tonight on behalf of that team to say thanks to all of you guys. Because if it wasn't for your prayers and your support, we wouldn't be able to do that project. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Wycliffe Bible Translators, Bo already gave you a little bit of an introduction, but here's the thing. Our goal, our vision, is to see God's Word translated into the heart language of every people group that needs a translation. Now, in 1999, we set a goal to start a translation project in every language group that needs one by the year 2025. And since then, we've started 529 new translation projects around the world. But I have a question for you. How many languages do you think are spoken in our world today? Anybody going to take a stab at that? How many?
Probably
22.
22?
1,000? Well, actually, in spite of the spread of English all over the world, there's 6,900 languages spoken in our world today. But less than half of those have any scripture in them, much less an adequate Old Testament or New Testament translation. Now, a little geography for you. Papua New Guinea is the world's second largest island. It's about the size of California. It's directly north of Australia. And it is the world's most ethnically and linguistically diverse nation. In that land area the size of California, they speak over 860 languages. Now, Wycliffe has completed 168 New Testament translations there. We are actively involved in more than 300 language projects, but there are still 400 languages there waiting for God's Word. So when I talk about heart language, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the language that you use with your family and your friends, the language that you think in, the language that you pray in. But imagine if you couldn't understand God's Word in your own language. All same, suppose me go inside long pigeon, em one pla talk place belong PNG. Now you kiss him good pla save long ting ting belong me or no God? I think no God. I said if I started speaking pidgin, which is a language of PNG, how much would you understand? I don't think very much. Even though pidgin is based on English, you might have heard some words in there that sounded familiar. But could you really get what I was saying? I don't think you got much of it. Well, I found out just what that was like for the people of PNG when I first went in 1999. I was part of a survey team that went to Sundown Province. We were way up close to the Irian-Jaya border, and we were deep in the jungle visiting this little people group called the Momo Bai Bai people. We had been there for about 10 days, hiking through the jungle, going to all the villages. The survey teams go into these places to see what the translation need is, to see if a language group needs their own translation or if they can use one that's already been done in another language. And at the very last village, the pastor who had been traveling with us, who had been our guide for most of this trip, came up to me and he said, "Hey, I've got some questions about the Bible. Will you sit down and talk with me?" I said, "Sure." So we sat down on the veranda. And he pulled out a pidgin Bible. Pidgin is that language that I was just speaking. He kind of started thumbing through there. And he said, "Well, my first question is this." He said, "This resurrection that this Bible talks about, is it just for you white skins or is it for everybody?" Well, I was blown away. I mean, here's a trained pastor. He's been ministering in this language group for a long time. But because he's trying to understand the gospel in a language not his own, he is missing the good news that Christ died for all of us. Can you imagine? Really got to me. Well, for me, this whole adventure started right here in Tucson, Arizona. I was attending a perspectives course. Now, Perspectives is a course offered by the U.S. Center for World Missions. They offer it every year here in Tucson. And one evening, the guy who came and spoke was from Wycliffe. Now, when I found out that there was a whole ministry devoted to translating God's word into other languages, I was blown away. For me, it brought to mind my college days. You see, I transferred from Oklahoma State University to Trinity in San Antonio, Texas. And when I transferred between schools, they told me I had to have a foreign language to graduate. Because of my major, they recommended that it would be a classical language. And the only classical language starting that semester was Biblical Greek. Now, if you knew me at that time, I didn't have any interest in anything that had the word biblical in it. Okay? I had turned my back on the Lord. I was doing my own thing. As we say in P&G, I was big-heading around. Well, my homework for three semesters was to translate God's word from Greek into English. And as his word says in Isaiah, it accomplishes his purposes in our lives. And it certainly accomplished his purpose in my life. Because when I graduated from university, I gave my life back to the Lord. And when I was sitting there listening to that guy from Wycliffe talk, I was thinking, man, I want to be a part of this ministry. I want to be a part of helping God's word get into those languages so it can impact the lives of people just like it impacted my life. Well, I got to tell you, it has not been easy since then. I started working with the Myodome people in 2000. My teammate and I had a plan. You know, Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." Well, I got to find out exactly how that is. We had a plan, and it went something like this. We were going to go out to the Myodome people, and we were going to train a team of national guys in how to do translation. And in 5 to 7 years, we were going to let them go do the work independently, and we were going to move on and help somebody else. We needed help with translation. That was our plan, and we had the blessing of our directors for that plan. But almost from the word go, nothing went according to the plan. We were evacuated from the village twice because of illnesses. We got held up by bandits in the highlands of P&G. My teammate ended up leaving because of an illness. Pretty soon I found myself working alone. And then when I came back from my last furlough, I went back to P&G. I went out to the village with a prospective new teammate. We were out there for 5 whole days before we had to be evacuated because of a security problem in the area. Now, just before we left Ferguson Island, we traveled back to the Myodome area in a dinghy. There's a picture of one somewhere in here. It's a long fiberglass boat with an outboard motor. We went around the point into Hughes Bay, where Myodome is located, just to see what the situation was, to see if we really were going to have to leave. And as we went into Hughes Bay, I saw this wall of cloud all the way from the sky to the sea in front of Myodome. And I knew that God was telling me the door was closed. As I went back to Ukarumpa and worked in administration for the next couple of years, I felt like God had just taken me and put me on the shelf. And I couldn't understand it. I'm like, God, why would you call me to be a translator, show me this group to work with, and then close the door so I can't work with them? To me, it just didn't make a lot of sense. But this new thing started to happen. And it started out, as it sometimes does, with a problem. Wycliffe began to experience a worldwide recruitment problem. I told you that in P&G, we have 400 languages waiting for their translation needs to be assessed. And suddenly, we only had one new translation team coming to P&G each year. So Vision 2025 for P&G was beginning to look like Vision 2400. We were wondering what we were going to do, so we began to seek God and said, saying, what can we do about this, Lord? How do you want us to work so that we can reach all of these people? And at first, we thought training was the answer. So we began to train Papua New Guineans to do the work independently. We would train them. We would send them out to the villages. But we noticed something happening. They would get out to the village. They would run into a problem. Maybe a verse was too difficult. They didn't know how to translate it. Maybe they would forget a step in the process. Maybe they would even simply run out of pencils and paper. And the trip to town took a day. And so when they ran out of supplies or when they ran into some of these other problems, they would just give up and quit translating. So we had lots of groups coming in to get the initial training and nobody coming in for the second and third courses. So we saw that training alone wasn't going to do it. One of our translators was talking with his coworkers about this problem. And they said, look, why don't we do it seminar style? Why don't we do translation in a seminar setting? We'll go to Alatau, the capital, of Milne. We'll bring together all the Wycliffe people with their translation expertise, their computer expertise, the consultants, all of that kind of thing. And we'll get the local people from all these language groups that need help. We'll come together in the central location, and together we'll do translation. So out of that discussion was born a project called Project Vital. VITAL stands for the Vernacular Initiative for Translation and Literacy. And we're doing just what those guys suggested. We're running three translation modules or seminars every year. And we're helping eight languages do New Testament translation and four languages do Old Testament translation in that seminar setting. Now, since we started that, we have seen some really incredible things happen. Right at the beginning, one of the first courses, Henry Kaisese from the Mayadome team, and I'm pleased to say that the Mayadome team is now part of VITAL, so even though I don't get to go out to the village and work with them, I'm getting to continue that translation project right in Alatau. Well, Henry came to me and he said, you know, I have to tell you a story. He said, when I was filling out my application to come to VITAL, I had a lot of misgivings about being a part of the course. You see, Henry and his wife have 10 children. And Henry did not know how he was going to leave his wife and children in the village for 3 months a year while he came in and participated in these translation workshops. But him and his wife prayed about it, and they decided that this was God's work, and he should be a part of it. So he filled out his application to come to the courses. Around that time, there was this pumpkin vine growing beside Henry's house. Now, that vine had never produced any fruit, and his wife wanted to pull it up and throw it in the fire. But Henry told her to leave it right where it was. And before he came to the course, he prayed a simple prayer. He asked God to protect his family, to provide for all their needs, to look out for them. And then he got on the boat and came to Alatau. Well, while he was in Alatau, an amazing thing began to happen. That pumpkin vine, which had never produced any fruit, began to grow up and cover his whole house. And it began to produce pumpkins, or what we would call squash, as long as a man's arm. It was so incredible that I'm told that villagers would come down the path and they would stop and stare and they would say, "Isaki Bwagina," which means it is really too much. And when Henry's wife didn't want to make the long trip up the mountain to the garden, all she had to do was go right outside of her door, and there was food. Well, when Henry came back from the course, he even got to eat some of those pumpkins. And when he told me this story, he said, "Now I know God is strong, because he answered my prayer, and he looked after my family, and he provided for them while I was away." And I was just blown away because God cares so much for all of us that he would even deliver pumpkins right to Henry's doorstep to show his faithfulness. Well, that's not the only time we've seen things like that happen. Last year, I invited a local youth praise band from Alatau to help us open the course. Now, in traditional PNG style, I invited them to come to the meal as well, the opening meal. Now, in my mind, I thought I was inviting five teenagers to come help us open the course. So I want you to imagine my shock when our van pulled up just chock-a-block full of kids, every seat taken. And not only was the van full, but there was a pickup truck behind the van just overflowing with kids. Instead of five guests, we had 25 guests. And it is very cultural. We had to feed all of these people. Now, I knew that our cooks had not prepared enough food for this situation. So, you know, my practical mind went to work, and I went around to all the participants, and I said, all right, guys, you know, take it easy on the portions. You know, don't overdo it tonight. We have all these guests. But then I got to thinking, and I went to our staff, and I said, you know what? We need to pray for our own feeding of the 5,000 tonight, okay? So we got a lot of people here. Well, I prayed for the meal, and when I pulled back the sheet that had been covering the food, I heard gasps of astonishment because there was so little food there to feed this crowd. But trying to be a good hostess, I invited our guests to go first, and I watched in disbelief as, like teenagers everywhere, these kids were just piling the food on their plates. I mean, I saw whole big yams just going on to plates, and I thought, oh, we're never going to feed everybody. Then all of the participants went through, and it didn't look like to me that they were following my advice and taking it easy on the portions. They were just piling it on their plates too. And finally, the staff went through. But when I turned around and looked at that table, there was still food on the table. So the next morning, as I opened the course, I said to the guys, did anybody notice anything at dinner last night? And the guy said, yeah. There was not enough food there to feed all those people. But somehow everybody got fed. They said, this is just like what we've been translating in Mark. And they were totally blown away. And so was I. Well, last year, I had the chance for the first time to go out to Maidom since all this security situation happened. And I was out there to do village checking. And village checking is where we take the scripture portions. This is one of them. We take the scripture portions that we've produced in the course. We go out and we check it. First of all, we want to make sure it's accurate, that it's communicating the right message. And then we want to make sure that it's really clear and beautiful. You know, that it sounds like good Maidom language. Not like me trying to speak Maidom, but like a Maidom person trying to speak Maidom. Okay? We were out there, and one day we were checking, and we just didn't quite finish, you know, everything that we were supposed to check for that day. So we went late into the night, to the point where we had Coleman lanterns and some kerosene lanterns dotted around the room. Everybody was trying to lean in close to see their pages. And as we sat there together and people asked questions, it felt more like a Bible study than a checking session. And one of the questions I asked people, we were checking not only Mark but parts of Genesis, I asked the people, do you guys know who Abraham is? They said, well, we've heard of Abraham, but this is the first time we've ever read any stories about him. And it was just a really incredible time where God's presence was with us that night. And the next morning, one of the village elders made sure that he was the first person in the door to see me. He sat down and he said, Carla, I just got to tell you, I can't be part of this checking anymore, because it's making me too sad. And I thought, oh, no, you know, making him too sad. What, we didn't do a good job? It doesn't sound like good Maidom. You know, we made some mistakes. What's wrong? But then I looked into the guy's eyes, and there were tears in his eyes. And I thought, I know what's going on. And I said, Peter, I know why this checking is making you sad. It's because God's word shows us how far we fall short and how much we need Jesus in our lives. And he said, yeah, that's it. I said, well, I'm sorry, Peter, but I'm going to keep praying that this checking makes you sad. And he said, you know, I've read this in English, and I've read this in Dobu, which is the church language of that area. He said, I never understood this until I read it in my own Mayadome language. Now it is shooting my insides and making my tears drop. Now, as a translator, I got to tell you, I was just sitting there going, yes! Because that's the whole point. That's what it's meant to do. Well, at the end of one of the very first courses, Henry, who's kind of one of the main co-translators, came up to me. And he had a piece of paper in his hand. It looked kind of like a map. He handed this piece of paper to me. And he said, I wanted to show this to you. And across the top it says, the proposal plan for the dedication of the Mayadome Bible. I looked at this piece of paper and I kind of laughed. And I said, Henry, I admire your advanced planning. But, you know, we've only translated about 60 verses, and there's like 8,120-something verses in the New Testament, so we've got a ways to go yet. And he looked at me and he said, well, I'll tell you what. We're just going to call this my 5-year rolling plan. Well, whether it takes 5 years or 10 years or 15 years to dedicate the Mayadome New Testament, I hope that all of you can be there. Because you've all been a part of making this happen by your prayers and support. Not only for Mayadome, but for all the languages that we're working with in Milne Bay. And there is a part for all of you in this ministry. So if you would like to find out more about how you can be involved, either through praying or going or giving, you can see me out in the foyer afterwards, and I have some information for you. But thank you for just giving me an opportunity to come back here and share with you tonight about what God's been doing in Papua New Guinea. It's a real privilege to share His work with you. Thank you.
Isn't that awesome? There we go. Isn't that just an awesome work? I found that so edifying just hearing about that. I can't think of a ministry that's more powerful than getting God's word out there to languages that previously didn't have the word. That's just so powerful. I know there's friends of mine, I don't see them tonight, who come here, who also work with Wycliffe, and hearing their stories and just how much of their life they've just invested in translating the word, and what a responsibility to. I think my hand would be much shaking as I take on that task. So God bless you, Carl, you know, for doing that, and thank you for being here. Let's pray for us, shall we, together? Father God, we do just thank you for this opportunity tonight to hear what you're doing, Lord, in this world and in Papua New Guinea especially. Father, we thank you for Carl. We thank you that she was able to be here tonight and share with us, Lord. I pray that you would just stir us to pray for her, to remember her in our prayers, Lord. And Father, I pray that those of us here tonight, that you may lead to be involved or lead us to support her. I pray that you just be stirring our hearts now and lead us to do that, Father. We just lift her up to you. I pray that you would give her the strength, Lord. Keep her safe out there, Lord. Keep her focused and just give her the wisdom as she divides your word and shares that, Lord, with people that haven't heard. Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing in this world, just how you work, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would use us, Father, and in our lives, wherever we are, Lord, that we would also share your word and share your truth and your love and your salvation. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's all stand and sing a closing song to you. As Carla said, she will be outside in the foyer there with a table. She has more information. She'd love to speak with you. So go and swarm her when you get outside. That'd be great. Thank you. are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time. Lord of all lords, you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords, you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time. King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be.
You are Lord.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time. Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be.
Amen. Let's go in God's grace. Amen.